Our scripture reading today is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 28th chapter, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone or a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Men on the continent of Africa have been falsely taught that one of the ways to cure having the AIDS virus is to have relations with a young virgin. And this has done nothing but to further spread the disease and bring even greater death to the continent. There can be horrific consequences to believing and holding on to and trusting in something that is completely false. If that's true in earthly matters, it is certainly even more so the case when it comes to spiritual matters. Falsehood can have eternal consequences. This week in the church year, the gospel lesson focuses on Thomas, whom we often refer to as Doubting Thomas. How would you like to be known that the rest of history? Doubting Thomas, who doubts the very reports of our Lord's resurrection, whom Christ himself had told him about even prior to his death, and yet must now see, and so on. And Jesus says in that text, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, describing the members of his church today who have not had the opportunity to visibly see the resurrected Christ and yet, by faith in his word, trust in him and trust in that word. And this brings to mind the great importance not only of faith, but the foundation upon which our faith rests and sits. In the words before us, the prophet Isaiah records the word of the Lord, and he brings up a familiar theme in Scripture, that of a cornerstone, that of building a building upon a particular foundation. You can find the similar theme in Psalm 118 and in the book of Romans and Ephesians, one of Peter's letters, and so on. When we think of cornerstones today, we think of kind of special, ornate, unique pieces of a building, usually the last stone put into the building. Oftentimes it has a strong box inside to protect certain valuables that are put in there on the day of this dedication. They're kind of commemorative stones that maybe have the year of the building inscribed in them to remind us of when it was built and so on. Ironically, in ancient times, however, they were the first stone often laid and set down for the building. And this stone was special in this way, that it was the one that was most perfectly cut. It was the one that was cut with the greatest precision, with exactly perfect 90-degree angles. And it was often a stone that was made out of a stronger quality and had a greater specialness or uniqueness to it. And the idea of this cornerstone was that everything else that would now be built around it and on it would line up according to the special dimensions of this stone. And so it had to be so carefully cut and so carefully put into place as well. The question that is lying underneath the text before us today, and that is always lying underneath this theme of the cornerstone throughout Scripture, is this: upon what foundation will I set my confidence and my trust when it comes to spiritual matters and the things of eternity? In various disciplines or in various schools of thought or industries and so on, truth seems to be something that can be rather elusive, something that seems to change with the winds and changing things of time and new advancements, new technologies, new discoveries that are made and so on. I doubt that any of you still use leeches, which were once thought of as a stroke of genius in the realm of medicine as far as a healing cure. When I was a child, the textbooks that were in the library that talked about the age of the world, spoke in terms of millions of years, and today, somehow it's billions of years. Wow. Apparently something changed in the meantime. I wonder what it'll be for your grandkids someday. How many trillions of years will that new truth be for them? Is truth really something that changes and is elusive and has this quality to it that can morph into new things? The Lord says to us, when it comes to spiritual matters, that He has established a truth. It is to be found in Him and in His servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when it comes to things that impact our eternal future, that impact our spiritual lives, that impact what happens to us after we go through the grave, when it comes to matters that deal with who God is and how we now relate to God and so on, and our knowledge of God, do we really want something that changes? Do we really want something that morphs with the new ideas in society? Do we really want something that shifts like sand? Or do we want something firm? Do we want something upon which our eternal hope can be rested and secure and safe? The Lord says to us in our text, "Behold, I lay in Zion," a word that is used to describe Jerusalem, not only in the figurative sense or in the sense of the city itself, but in the figurative sense of the church. "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone," or a foundation, "a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." Describing our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as well as the Word which He gives us. Let's just take a close look at some of the qualities that the Lord has Isaiah use in describing the stone. He says a tried stone. The Hebrew word here has to do with something that has been tested, that is something that has been approved, something that is shaped so perfectly that it has become now the standard that everything else needs to be measured up against, a tried stone. Then he uses the expression a precious cornerstone, precious in the sense that it has greater value than anything else. It has greater worth than all of the other stones that will now be built upon it. And then a sure foundation, he says, a firm setting, something that has been established and embedded deep down in the bedrock. They claim that when the World Trade Center originally was to be built, that they dug down 7 stories deep to make sure it was founded on bedrock. The earth that they excavated created a whole new park in Battery Park in New York. That's how important it was to have a deep embedded foundation. God describes Christ to us as a sure foundation, immovable. And this is true because our Lord Himself is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our risen Lord Jesus Christ, the one who claimed that He would rise from the dead after 3 days and now has done so, He is the very one that is now this great cornerstone upon which the church of believers is to be built. Is there any wonder why the disciples, who at one time were so fearful about being seen as connected to Christ, is there any wonder why once they saw the risen Christ and were in His presence, were now so full of confidence that they boldly went out into the world, all of them, to proclaim His grace and His truth, most of them meeting a martyr's death for that? It's as if they were saying, by their life and actions, if not even death can hold Him down, what do we have to be afraid of? What do we have to be afraid of that could hold us back? Martin Luther says in commenting on this text, he says, "This is our comfort for those who believe in Christ. By no power, either of tyrants on earth or in the nether regions or in the air, can you be jarred loose. This is our defense in Christ against them." Our Lord Jesus Christ, thank God, He and His Word, our Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging, immovable. A pastor in our synod many years ago used the expression, to paraphrase him, "Thank God that Christ and his truth does not change like the fashion in women's clothing, which is the way many church bodies today want to treat truth, by the way. How important is the foundation upon which our faith relies and rests? During the first bombing of the World Trade Center, before the planes flew into it, years before that, people drove vans loaded with dynamite down into that foundation, hoping to destroy those buildings. The devil knows the significance of the foundation upon which our faith rests and sits. It should not surprise us to hear and to see that he attempts to attack and destroy the authority of Scripture among us, and to take away our confidence in the word of our Savior and in what he's done for us. If you can destroy the foundation, you bring the whole building down. What great harm the devil has done to many youth of the church through the pens and mouths of those professing to belong to Christ, but have used their twisted academic intelligence to convince young souls away from the Savior and from the truth and veracity of his holy word. May we always appreciate the construction of God's true church in this world, built upon the immovable foundation and cornerstone of Christ our Lord and the writings of his apostles. What dignity and what specialness we have now as stones who have been set and placed upon him, Christ, the perfect stone. What a blessing to be a part of this magnificent structure. And just as the cornerstone, Christ himself, is living, so it is now with all of those who have been laid upon him and fastened into his church. The stones which are now built upon him take on this same living quality. By faith, in a sense, we become little Christs, in the sense that we also now possess and await his glorious resurrection. The text in front of us concludes with kind of a strange phrase. The literal translation is, "He who believes in him will not act hastily." And the idea there is to run away in fear and shame. In other words, he who believes and trusts in Christ and rests upon him and his sacred word will have no reason to ever be ashamed or run away. Amen.